Good morning, everyone.
Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. We are delighted to see you all here, and we are delighted to see those of you out in cyberland who have decided to join in virtually with us today. Thank you for joining us for worship. It's our honor to have you. Y'all, we made it. We made it through the hottest week on the planet, I think. So congratulations, I'm proud of y'all. It was kind of miserable. Even if you know me, y'all know that my favorite time of year is summer, and I want to be out in the sun and get as much as possible, and I found myself wanting to come back inside too. So I think if we made it through this past weekend, we're going to be great for the next week. So congratulations. Thank you so much for coming to worship today and doing your best to stay safe and keep everybody else safe as well. We appreciate that so much. During the worship today, there are going to be many opportunities for you to participate with us, both here and online. So we thank you for that. Would you guys take a moment now and take a deep breath with me, and let's turn our hearts and our minds to worship. The Lord be with you.
Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and laid down in that place. And he dreamed there was a ladder set upon the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood behind him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, House of God.
Thank you.
pray with me? God, we are so undeserving of your grace and your unfailing love, and yet still you love us and you see the value in us when oftentimes we don't see it in ourselves. Teach us to love others, both near and far, the way that you have loved us, and teach us to magnify your name each and every day. Amen.
Now I want to invite all the boys and girls to gather around the TV and the computer to join me for children's time, because this message is for you today. Okay, I'm certain that at some point in y'all's lives, some of you, all of you, have gone on a road trip. And on a road trip, did your car look like this cool red sports car? Not mine, not the one that I took with my parents, but it's a really cool car. It would be a fun road trip in this car. Or maybe your car was more like this one, a little more practical, but a little too small, kind of crowded for the trip. Yes, but you could have taken a road trip in this one. Or maybe this was the car, where you can look out the windows, a nice big spacious vehicle that you can take a road trip across the country on. I hope that you've taken a road trip over the past year. Maybe you took one in spring break. Maybe you took one last summer. Maybe you went on one this summer just across the country. And on that road trip, I bet that all of your parents could tell me that the first four words that you said about 2 miles into the trip were, "Are we there yet?" Right? You want to get there. The minute you get into the car and you head on out to the road trip, you're ready to be there. You don't want to wait. You've got things to look forward to, things to get to. You don't have time for this driving. And your parents are like, "Oh no. What are we going to do to entertain this child for the rest of the trip?" You probably have your tablet or your movie player in the car. But your parents might say, "You know what? Along the journey, there are things outside the window that we want you to see and not miss. We're going to take some stops and look at this really cool tree. We're going to look at this really cool rock. Maybe we're going to see this big ball of twine. There are things that you're going to stop and see along the road that you would miss if you were in too much of a hurry, right? I think that made me think about when I was reading the scripture for today. The last couple of verses in our scripture say, "For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." I was thinking about that and thinking, how am I going to talk to the kids today? And y'all, we have to have patience. There are some things that we don't know. We don't know when we're going to get to the end of the journey. We don't know when we're going to get to the end of the trip. But we have to be patient, and there's some great stuff for you guys to do along the way, just like as if you're in the car. I don't want you to miss out while you're waiting for things, for answers, for things to come. There's time for you to play with your families, time for you to play with your friends, FaceTime people, do all kinds of fun things that you would miss out on if you were in too much of a hurry to get to the end of the road. That's what I think God was telling me for this story today, and I hope you'll think about that over the next few weeks. Would y'all pray with me? God, we thank you so much for road trips, for sights along the way. Thank you for bringing us beauty through our journey, Lord. We know we don't have all the answers to everything, but we know that you are with us along the way, and that is what's most important. We thank you most importantly for your love. In your most holy name we pray. Amen.
God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I am an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I am thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I am never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence, coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in.
Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there, waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life.
The gospel reading comes from Romans 8, 16 through 25. It is that very spirit-bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the suffering of this present times are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Of my mouth and the meditations of my very broken heart be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Bad news for me is Tottenham's chances at European football next year are nil. Bad news for you is their kickoff at 10 a.m. this morning is irrelevant because of such a fact. I know you know all of this, therefore I'll be in no hurry to get through this morning, and you're welcome. I'm sorry. I'm so glad you're here. It's so fun to talk about things that no one knows about nor cares about. It's what I do for a living. Psalm 139 asks, where can I go from your spirit? Verse 7 and verse 10, the psalm answers, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. Where can I go from your spirit? Nowhere. Nowhere. This is our salvation. This is our good news. This is our word in an age of racism and coronavirus and physical distancing and economic unrest and educational uncertainty. And even worse, in the age in which sports schedules might be altered. Kidding, kinda, right? In an age of all this chaos, this is our comfort. Where can I go from your spirit, O God? Nowhere. For your goodness and your kindness, your love, O God, will always hold me. Friends, just breathe. The words of this psalm remind me of these words by E.E. Cummings, the 20th century poet. I carry your heart with me. I carry it in my heart. I am never without it. Anywhere I go, you go, my dear, and whatever is done by only me is your doing, my darling. I fear no fate, for you are my fate, my sweet. Want no world, for beautiful, you are my world, my true, and it's you. It's you. You are whatever a moon has always meant and whatever a sun will always sing is you. Here is the deepest secret that nobody knows. Here is the root of the root and the bud of the bud and the sky of a tree called life, which grows higher than the soul can hope or mind can hide. And this is the wonder that's keeping the stars apart. I carry it in my heart. I carry it in my heart. The author E.E. Cummings, in much of his celebrated work from the 20th century, is often, although not always, but often presented without capitalization. Cummings wrote in such a way to suggest that the rules of grammar were to be bent or broken. And more than just grammatical rules, some of you think rules are meant to be bent and broken, don't you? Amen. And it drives others of you crazy. Amen. From a personal standpoint, I assure you that if one were to commit to send electronic communication without ever using capitalization, it will drive a certain percentage of the population nuts. And then you will have opportunity to evaluate that person's Enneagram, personality type, so on and so forth. I have a real and present fear that our eldest daughter is one of those who believes the rules are meant to be bent. And for this, we will now pray. The absence of capitalization is also true, did you know, for our scriptures. Yeah, in the Hebrew language, there is no upper or lower case at all. And in the Greek language, the language of our New Testament, at this point in time in the writing of the New Testament, there is only capitalization. There is a lowercase added maybe in the third century. And to make matters worse, in the Greek New Testament, there's no spaces either. So the next time someone corrects you for writing something, for forgetting to hit the space bar, forgetting to hit the shift bar, the next time some grammarian, some English teacher, some rule follower, the next time someone corrects you about your typo, well, just do what I do and say, well, I've just been reading too much scripture in the original language, like all Christians should. Here in Psalm 139, as we've read in English, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Referring to the divine spirit in English, there's no capitalization. Interesting. Chapter 8 is considered to be the spirit chapter of Paul's Roman manifesto, leading up to what is considered to be sort of the treatise, the center of the Roman epistle, chapters 9 through 11, considering that Jesus is, and because of Jesus, all of the world has salvation. Amen. And it is here in chapter 8 that Paul's preamble to this kingdom constitution is all the Spirit, used 22 times in 14 verses, this word, Spirit. Verse 16, Reagan, thank you so much for reading Scripture. We're delighted to hear the truth of God through you. Verse 16 is unique in that it says, it is the Spirit bearing witness within our spirit that we are children of God. The first Spirit in English, capitalized. The second Spirit, lowercase. Here's my translation. We got spirit. Yes, we do. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. You know this. You're so good. This is why I love you. I need not do my homework. You've already done it. Ruach, sometimes translated breath, sometimes even translated more nuanced, life. It is one of the first words in all of the Bible, Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of all of creation, and the Spirit, Ruach, the Spirit of God was hovering. The breath of God was hovering. The life of God was hovering. Ruach, in my opinion, is one of the best all-time words. And if you were searching for a tattoo, said search is over. It looks cool. It sounds cool. It has cool meanings. This is the word. We'll all go get tattoos after this. It'll be great. The Greek word for spirit, as you well know, pneuma. Yeah. 22 times in this chapter, pneuma is the Christopher Walken of Romans 8. I need more cowbell. Paul needs only more spirit. You can't get enough of it. And although the Hebrew words always tend to have broader shoulders, more depth, more breadth, this is a good word too. Not a tattoo kind of word, but a good word too. This word can also be translated Holy Spirit. Word can also be translated human spirit. This word can also be translated wind. So, and remember, all translation is in fact interpretation. So when the translation uses a capital or a lowercase for spirit, it's an interpretive theological move. Necessary, of course, in order to sell books that English teachers, rule followers, grammarians, and might I say maybe Enneagram 1s and 5s might buy and read at a later point. But it's unfortunate, in my opinion. It's unfortunate that we must choose a capital or a lowercase. For I'm not sure that the theological division is as clear between big S and little s. Add the bend of our Western, French, enlightened, rationalistic minds that tend towards dualism and finite categorization, the difference in upper and lowercase can become wider than an evangelistic tract bearing the four spiritual laws. This is what happens when we play with capitalization. Again, here, verse 16. It is that spirit bearing witness within our spirit such that we are all children of God. Again, we got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit, and we got God too. Okay? Reminds me of these words from Ephesians 4. There is one body. There is one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your one calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So good. What I believe about the scriptures, what I believe God is ultimately saying is this. The places that we find division, division between capital S and lowercase s, the places in our world that we find division, the Spirit doesn't recognize. Let me say it again. The places in our lives, in our reality, in our world, in which we find division, the Spirit doesn't recognize. A confession. I am a contradiction. I am. I am a walking contradiction. And this is where you church, amen. Others might more carefully and more rightly call me a hypocrite. And they're right. And that's true. And so are you. The person in your life who's driving you crazy right now is a contradiction. The person that you love the most in your life is also a contradiction. Brazilian novelist Paulo Coelho says, if they were to paint a picture of Jesus without contradictions, the Gospels would be fake. It is the contradictions that are the sign of authenticity. Further, a mystic Thomas Merton puts it this way. It is the very contradictions in my life that are the signs of God's mercy. Contradiction is a sign of God's mercy. Our faith, in and of itself, finds great meaning in contradiction. Life and death, spirit and matter, three and one, suffering and joy, all together. These categories, seeming contradiction, often in philosophy and theology is called dialectic, and such that thesis leads to antithesis, which leads to synthesis, which is simply this. Two seemingly opposites, in fact, create something new. Contradiction is a sign of mercy. last week I said with respect to our scripture and with respect to our spirituality, last week I said less is more. Less is more. It's so good and it's so true. And this week as Jacob is fleeing for his life in the desert and in the chaos, he dreams big. He dreams of the more of God and a ladder connecting the earth and the heavens, and there are angels. Note the angels ascending and descending. It's immense. It's incredible. If you ever find yourself in Abilene, I encourage you to take time to go to Abilene Christian University with a cup of coffee and sit at the monument, the statue there of Jacob's Ladder, Jack Maxwell, who has also done the mercy seat here at Lubbock Christian University. Here, the angels are ascending and descending. You see, with God, I think upper and lower case, there is but one ladder. One spirit, one Lord, one trickster, one servant, one blessing, one big faith, all held together in a unity that is far stronger than the limits of contradiction. Earlier this year, we as a community, as a world even, celebrated an incredible human, Leonard Saunders. You may know him as being a true Christian, meaning he sits on the front and actually worships as we're worshiping. Do you remember who I'm talking about? If you don't know Leonard, if you'd reach out to me, a wonderful person in our congregation has written some about him, and I'd love to send some her website to you. You could read about his life. Many of you relished this human as he was with us, and many of our deacons and others served him and cared for him in sacred days earlier this year. Leonard now is surrounded, as you well know, in full love and in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Leonard served in the Navy in World War II. Faithfully served this country, and I'm reminded of the story as he was coming home from his service, headed back to his family in Roanoke, the star city there in Southwest Virginia, of course, came through the naval base in Norfolk, Virginia. And Leonard, buying a bus ticket, trying to get home, had to wait until his bus left the next morning, and unfortunately, although he was able to serve our country, was unable to occupy a hotel room in that city that night. And so instead, he slept on a bus bench in order to make it home to see his family. I remember reading this story as our church member had wrote it. I remember sitting on the sofa, and Eva had gone to bed. I remember reading the story and weeping. We've created and we've inherited massive divisions that I don't think the Spirit of God recognizes. Leonard, August 28th, 1963, at the footsteps of Lincoln, was there. Did you? This is an incredible story. Again, reading it after he had passed through the veil, just a total inspiration. Leonard had been working and volunteering to improve the schools in his beloved Baltimore home. Leonard, there at the footsteps, after Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, check this, he walks up the steps and says, I wanted to shake the man's hand. I walked up the steps, one of the most incredible moments in all of American history. Leonard there and just walks up to Dr. King and shakes his hand. Friends, what if we were to dream big and just walk up a few steps and shake its hand? Our God, I believe, is big enough to unite the heavens and the earth and brothers and sisters and neighbors and co-workers and big S's and little S's. I'd like to share with you now a big dream that I have. More than alcohol, More than motor vehicle collisions, death by suicide in our culture is often measured as the greatest risk for our young people. It is a difficult sentence to read. It is this great weight that leaves everlasting wounds in all of us. This is also, as you well know, a devastating burden on our military personnel and veterans. The highest rate, as this church knows all too well, the highest rates of this death is among white, middle-aged males. And as you well know, like most things in our world that are truly important, there is no single elixir to remedy this difficulty. Rather, a mosaic of interconnected efforts presents to us the opportunity to save lives. Education, awareness, mental health resources in our community, the destigmatization of mental health in our culture, addiction and recovery resources, and even handgun safety. All of these efforts have been measured to literally save lives. And apart from any statistic, I believe that every person within earshot of these words this morning has been deeply impacted in some way by this incredible suffering. Further, the statistics suggest, with this number gathered and with the numbers that we've seen online, someone even now in this moment is suffering deeply. And I'd like to just take the moment to share my cell phone number. And I hope each of you will take a moment and save this 1-800 number in your cell phone. If you would call me, if you're struggling now, if you would call me, I would do my best, number one, to listen. And we promise as a community to refer you on to a healthcare professional, and you will not be turned away because of cost. We promise as a community to support you if you are struggling or someone near and dear to you is struggling in any way. I really hope that you'll save this number in your phone. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, let me just leave that up there, I apologize. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is active here in our city, in our church, last year, and thus you have supported the efforts that this organization is efforting around the world. And their goal in the next 5 years is to reduce the number of deaths by suicide in the United States by 20%. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where can I go from your spirit, oh God? Nowhere. Nowhere. Let us dream big together, my friends. Let us walk together hand in hand. Let us have faith, because we got spirit. Yes, we do. Let's pray together. For our brothers and our sisters who have great weights on their shoulders, oh God, we pray that your spirit comfort them now in this moment. For church members remembering beloved friends, beloved family members, we pray in the power of your spirit to give hope, to give help. And we pray for boldness. We pray for the boldness to dream big. We pray for the courage to shake a dream's hand. We give thanks and we worship in the truth that there is nowhere that we can go, there is nothing that we can do, there is nothing that can be forgotten that would remove your spirit from our presence. We are always, always in your loving kindness. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the capital and lowercase Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Please pray with me. Dear God, with scripture and music and sermon, you have reminded us that you are right here, right now, closer to us than our breath. Thank you for your assurance. When we leave this place, may we take that assurance home with us. When we face the blessings and trials of the week, may your presence strengthen us. When we forget to live in your strength, in the frustrations of a moment or a day, assure us that we will get another chance to get it right. God, whatever our ages, we are still learning. Thank you. Amen.
It's an honor to gather with you and worship. It's an honor to see the top 2 inches of your face. Please be careful, and if we can be of help to you, if we can pray with you, if we can support you in some way, please let us know. If you would stand, I would be honored to offer words of faith to you. As you go this week, may the more of less truly comfort you, and may you dream big as the Spirit guides you. Go in peace. Amen.